All right, well, it's communion time, which means we'll be reflecting on the cross of Jesus and the price he paid for us. You know, a lot of people get up here and talk about their past, and we just got one person who did that, or actually two people, amen, who did that. And the most powerful testimonies are always the ones that we hear about those who rose up from the wicked lives they once lived. With me, that's not the story you're going to hear today.
Amen.
See, I grew up in a religious family who always taught me to avoid those things. And not that I didn't have my vices. Believe me, I had them. But they wouldn't make for, you know, they didn't really make what would make for great stories or powerful testimonies. The truth is, I always prided myself on my track record for avoiding sin, or at least what I consider to be the big sins, ignoring the fact that all sins are equal, amen? On top of that, I believed. You know, I believed, you know, I was like, okay, no, Jesus died on the cross, you know, for me, and whatever. That was my attitude. It was like that. See, even my friends would have described me as righteous. You know, I did good things and whatnot, but that was my biggest vice, my righteousness. It's not every day you hear righteousness described as a bad thing, is it? See, I thought what I had what it took to be righteous. I thought I had what it took to be saved. You know, do good things and you're okay. I'm good, I'm set, I'm what's best for me. You know, in the end, that's what I leaned on. It made it really hard for me to be surrendered and really appreciate the value of my sin, or I guess suppose its negative value, the damage that it caused. But it really made me hard for me to surrender to God. And today we're going to look at someone who had kind of a similar attitude about being surrendered, Job. Job is an intense book. We just read from it now with Jeremy, and it gets really intense right around the end. Guess where I'm going to have you turn to? Let's turn to Job chapter 40. Now, most people know the gist of who Job was and what happened to him, but for those who don't, here's a refresher. Job was this awesome dude who totally followed God's law and never veered away from it. One day, Satan visits heaven and presents God with a wager. You know, God, Job is this pretty righteous fellow, but take away all he's got and he'll curse you to your face. To which God replied, let's find out. After that, Job went through all sorts of trials. His family was taken away, all his possessions were stolen, his health failed him. He got boils on his skin. Most people remember that Job passed the test, but they don't often remember the great toll that it had on him. His health went from good to worse, and his faith went from great to terrible. He never lost it. That's why he passed the test. But, you know, he never rejected God, but he thought God had rejected him. He never cursed God like Satan thought he would, but he became very bitter. So much so that he began charging God with unfairness. He began feeling like, you know, like he's such a righteous guy. Who does God think he is to treat him this way? God appears on the scene and rebukes the pride right out of him. We're going to pick up right in the middle of it. Job chapter 40, verse 6. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's, and can your voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor, and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at every proud man and bring him low. Look at every proud man and humble him. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. We'll stop there. Wow. That's what appreciating the cross is all about, guys. Your own right hand cannot save you. Job learned this at a cost. He was the most pious man on the face of the earth, but when the going got rough, he held on to that more than his faith. Again, he never lost his faith, and that's why he passed the test, but he felt he was really righteous. During his sickness, he expected his friends to comfort him, which is hopefully what you do when you're sick, right? Instead of comforting him, they said, well, Job, you know, all this bad stuff is happening to you because you must have sinned. Job said, no, I've never sinned. I've kept myself from that. I've been good my whole life.
I don't deserve this. I want to contest my circumstances with God. Do you hear me, God? This isn't fair. I've been righteous and blameless. I am a righteous animal. God comes down in a storm and says, not without me, you're not. Listen up, Job. You feel so good about how good you are. But you still need me, and that's never going to change. I'm the creator. I determine what the weather does and where the animals go. I was there in the beginning, and I'll be there when it ends. I know what's best for you, and it's me. You're miserable, though. You've done nothing wrong. But are you the center of the universe? You feel like it's unfair that you're in pain? Well, guess what? So do I. That's why I'm going to go down there and be hung on a cross for your sin. When I've never done wrong. Then you tell me I don't know how you feel. Tell me I'm unfair then, Elliot. When I save you from real pain. My name's Elliot. That's what I read when I was reading this. On that day, you'll know where true righteousness comes from. It comes from me. Turn to Romans 3. Sadly, though, that's not where I was. I believed in God. I knew that Jesus rose from the dead and, you know, died for my sins. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the whole nine yards. But I hadn't made that the center of my life. I didn't appreciate the damage my sins, even the little ones, had caused. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, we read, for we know, oh, hold on a sec, that's Romans 6, sorry. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Like I said, Romans chapter 3, verse 9, here we go. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. I was in a place where my friends called me happy, said I was nice, and said, you know, I was a good person. I, too, felt that same confidence about myself. In many ways, that was the scariest time of my life because I felt no need for change. I want to challenge everyone here. Everyone, if you're in a place where you feel, oh, I'm good, I'm set, study the Bible with us. I have no doubt in my mind it will be the best decision you ever make. I know, because I was there too. I was one of those people that would say, no, I'm good. Hey, no, listen, I believe, and that's good enough to get me saved. It wasn't until I saw the kingdom that that's not the case. When I saw the kingdom, that was God telling me, listen up, Elliot. You feel so good about how good you are. And that's what's killing you. The real scary part, Elliot, that's what's killing me too. Guys, this is the blood of our God. What right do we have to think we're any good in the face of this? This is the blood of the only one who could save us from ourselves. It's a time to remember who we are and who we were. This is a time to remember and hold in a tangible way the flesh and the price that he paid for us. We can remember the crucifixion any time, but this is a time God wanted us to have, to hold this memory in our hands and take it in, mold it around in our heads and let it live within us. And with that, we can know that our faith is in the right place, in the price, in the flesh he paid for us. With his flesh and his blood. Let's pray. Lord, I do not yet have boils in my skin, Lord. I'm still young, and I know that there will still be pain in my life. Lord, I know that no matter what, you saved me from real pain so that nothing that I go through will last forever. Lord, I want to thank you for being righteous. More righteous than I ever could be or any of us. You are what saves us, Lord. I just want to thank you so much for that. I pray all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.